We're going to read from the first verse, Matthew chapter 13. We're going to read verses 1 to 23. Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 1, give attention to the Word of God. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. He becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Amen. Thus far, the reading of God's word. May he add a rich blessing to its reading and its preaching this morning. I wonder, when was the last time you had your hearing checked? Hearing tests, as you know, are routinely performed by health professionals in the public schools. I can well remember my own experience when I was very young, and the The nurse came and she sat behind a small machine, and she would play beeps at different frequencies, and I had to give a thumbs up when I heard a beep. And I can remember that this nurse was wearing glasses. And I can remember I learned very quickly that the time to raise my thumb was when I saw a little red light appear reflected in her glasses. I trust I still passed the hearing test, but I found a quick way to get around it. Well, this passage that we've read this morning, I would submit to you that from it, Jesus wants to give you all a hearing test this morning. A hearing test. And he doesn't use a machine, just a simple story about a farmer planting his field. When he's done, he says in verse 9, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Of course, what we have in this passage is the first of Jesus' parables. We are returning this morning to our series of studies in Matthew's Gospel. We took a break over the summer to study Jonah, and we're picking up the story again here in chapter 13. And if you glance over the chapter in your Bible, if you have those little headings in your English translation, you'll see that it's packed with parables. Now, Matthew has collected these parables, and he's placed a lot of them here in this particular chapter. And parables, as we're going to see this morning, all really have to do with hearing the word about Christ's kingdom, the truth that the kingdom, the rule, the government of God has come to earth in the person of the King, Jesus Christ. Now, it has been estimated by one scholar that as much as one-third of the recorded teachings of Jesus consist of parables or parabolic statements. But up to this particular point in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus' teaching has been really more theoretical, or we might say doctrinal. And how have his hearers responded? The people have been indifferent. The religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees, have been defiant. Only Jesus' disciples have believed in him and are following him. And so now it is he begins to use this different teaching method, we might say. And he's not using parables because there had been something inadequate about his previous teaching method. Neither is it so that they will somehow hear better. But rather, astonishingly perhaps to our sensibilities, the parables of Jesus Christ, which speak so memorably and so clearly about the kingdom, are instead going to provoke his hearers to shut their ears even more, and indeed to harden their hearts even further. If you and I this morning are going to hear the word with profit, then we need to heed the message of the parables. We need our spiritual hearing checked. This parable of the sower that we're going to consider is where we must begin. There are 3 points this morning, each stressing a different aspect of this important subject of hearing the word with profit. The first is this, how to hear the word with profit. And the second is how to hear the word with profit. And the third is how to hear the word with profit. So I hope, if nothing else, you'll remember the sermon title from this morning's message. We'll stress each part of it as we go along. Let's begin then by considering, first of all, how to hear the word with profit, the stress upon the hearing, and particularly looking at verses 9 through 17. In verse 9, we have this phrase that is very commonly found in the Gospels: "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." What does Jesus Christ consider to be a true hearing of his word? Notice that here he explains this before he explains the parable. It's very interesting how this chapter is structured. You'll notice that he tells the parable, and then he explains the purpose of the parables, and then he comes to explain the meaning of this particular parable. So following Jesus' lead, let's explain, first of all, the meaning of the parables. This verb that's used, to hear, is found 16 times in 14 verses. Verses 9 to 23, clearly, I think we can say that this is the central teaching of this parable. Look, for example, at verse 19. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom. And verse 20, this is he who hears the word and receives it with joy. Verse 22, he who hears the word. And verse 23, he who hears the word and understands it. Why is hearing so very important? Well, my friends, it's very important to us because you cannot believe on Christ without first hearing his word. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and verse 17. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is why we need Christ's hearing test. There is nothing in the whole world that is more important than hearing the word of God. But as we look more closely at this passage, we have to ask, what sort of hearing is in view? The organ of the ear is mentioned four times in verses 9 to 16, but it's interesting that neither the physical organ nor the faculty of hearing is primarily in view. Take a look at verses 14 and 15, where Isaiah is quoted, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. You see, Jesus is teaching here that the hearing with the ear of the parable really means understanding with the heart and turning from your sin in faith to Christ. Your heart is the ear of your soul. True hearing is accompanied by understanding and is expressed by personal trust and commitment to Jesus Christ. So a spiritual hearing is in view, not merely an external coming to church every week to hear a preacher, not simply hearing the word as you do your quiet time. Verse 11 makes that clear. He said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. And verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. You see what Jesus says here: to some it has been given to hear, to others not. They have physical ears, but they have no faculty of spiritual hearing, we might say. Instead, they have hardness of heart. Spiritual hearing means believing in the heart the message of the Word of God unto salvation, and then being built up by it day by day unto sanctification. The ear is the root to your heart. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The true hearer is the one Jesus describes in verse 19 as the hearer with understanding. And so this explains why Jesus teaches with parables. Two reasons he gives here. The first reason he teaches with parables is to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom to his people. That is to say, to those who do have spiritual ears to hear. He says to the disciples in verse 16, blessed are you because you see, and your ears because they hear. But secondly, it also confirms the stubborn unbelief of those who will not hear. It's a very hard teaching. But the parables that we're going to consider in these upcoming weeks both reveal and conceal by their very design. They are not simply earthly stories with a heavenly meaning, though of course they are that. But they are profound doctrinal theses that confound those who are enemies of Christ. And so it is that in the context of this passage, Jesus has been preaching plainly and he's been healing the sick. But the Jews' hearts are hardened and unmoved. They are demanding signs, just as they did back in the days of Isaiah the prophet, whom Jesus quotes here. And so Jesus' plain teaching in the parables only hardens them further, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts so that I should heal them. And there's a very penetrating comment and application by the commentator Matthew Poole on this verse. He says this undoubtedly God does to this day. When a people have sat a long time under a good and profitable ministry, wherein their souls have been dealt with plainly and faithfully, and they remain still ignorant, debauched, and unbelieving, God in a righteous judgment gives them over to the blindness of mind and hardness of heart under that ministry, that though it continue amongst them, yet they are not affected with the word, but sleep and harden under it. What a terrifying thought it is that the awakening word should put you to sleep instead. That the very word that liberates from judgment should add to your judgment instead. Jesus this morning preaches to you as well. And the word is preached far more expansively today than it was in Jesus' day. You hear the word preached here week by week. You open the word, I trust, in your families and on your own, in your quiet time. You download it onto your iPod. You may even commit it to memory, and you urge others, of course, to do exactly the same thing. But I wonder, are you this morning like Jesus' hearers? Here's a warning. Never to take his means of grace for granted. They are a gracious gift. If you despise the word, he is able to take it from you, even though you are surrounded by it. You remember the rhyme of the ancient mariner, that endless poem. And you remember the mariner, there he is on his raft, and he says, water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. It could be like that for you. You see, you're surrounded by the word. It's doing you no good because your heart is hard. So then, these parables are memorable tales, but there's a sting in the tail. A sting in the tail. You may hear the word, but do you hear it to your profit, or do you hear it to your eternal loss? How can you tell? We must ask then, if your heart has grown hard to God's word, if your ears, we might say, are becoming blocked with the wax of unbelief and hardness of heart, so that you cannot hear. You must submit yourselves this morning to Jesus' hearing test. And so with this in mind, let's get into the parable itself. We've considered then how to hear the word with profit, but we come secondly to consider how to hear the word with profit. Jesus says, the sower sowed the seed, the substance of what is heard is all important. And not just the fact that you may have a capacity to hear. He says, behold, a sower went out to sow. Here is a very common agricultural scene in Palestine. Of course, they had no seed drills in those days. The farmer would scatter his seed on the fields. Fields were often separated by raised paths, and the seeds would often be beaten down by the passers-by as they walked along these dusty trails. And I want you to consider first in this parable the seed. What exactly is it that is being sown here? Well, helpfully in Luke's account of this parable, Luke 8, verse 11, we read, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Mark says the same thing essentially. Mark 4, verse 14. The sower sows the word. It's what Jesus, in our own passage here, verse 19, calls the word of the kingdom. And it's important to say right up front that this is not simply referring to evangelistic preaching. It is rather to say the whole counsel of God, the word of God, in all of its complexity. This seed of the word is what saves us. 1 Peter 1:23. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. Not only does this Word of God save you, but it also sanctifies you. That is to say, it enables you to grow and to mature, to become more like Christ. John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth. And 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And so, my friends, this is the fruit, this is the crop or the harvest that Jesus is seeking from your hearing his word as it is sown week by week and day by day. He is looking for a life that is redeemed, a life, a heart that is born again, and a life that is being sanctified. One that looks more and more like Jesus every day, transformed in holiness. Getting the right seed is important if you want to yield the right crop. Suppose my wife sends me to buy tomato seeds at the garden store. It's an admittedly a rather dangerous errand, but let's just suppose. And she discovers after some months, to her distress, that her fine tomato plant is actually producing a lovely crop of blueberries. Something is obviously wrong. Now, I, of course, can insist to her that I bought tomato seeds. But the fruit, you see, provides irrefutable proof of my error. Unless, of course, the tomatoes are particularly small and not very healthy or something like that. But the point is this, only good seed, will bear good fruit. Only God's word is a means of grace. And this is why preachers must be heralds of the word of God and nothing more and nothing less than the word of God. That is to say, they mustn't preach the seeds of church tradition or of baptized Freudian psychology. These seeds will grow. You could count upon it. But the question is, what fruit are they going to produce? Too many preachers run excitedly to the garden store of the Christian bookshop that peddles all sorts of such seeds that promise great fruit. And my friends, what has it produced in the evangelical church in America today? A biblically illiterate generation. Congregations of confused disciples, unsure of what they believe and why they believe it. The sprouting and the growing of the weeds of false doctrine, split churches, the list could go on. Jesus says, remember in the Sermon on the Mount, by their fruit shall you know them. The seed is and must be the word of God. But what about the sower? The seed, but also the sower. Who is the sower, the one that is sowing the seed? Well, obviously in the context, it's Jesus, right? Jesus is the sower, and in the context, he is explaining this mixed response that there has been to his Galilean ministry. He is the Son of Man, yet many are hearing him with the ear, but not with the understanding of the heart. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me, that is Jesus, to preach good news, that is, preach the gospel to the poor. This is the Messiah's commission, to preach the gospel. But then you see, by extension, preachers are to be sowers as well, aren't they? Jesus the sower commissions other sowers. Matthew 10, 6 and 7, he says to his 12 disciples, "Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand." But my friends, by extension, surely all God's people are to be sowers. If you're a Christian this morning, does not God expect you to tell others this message of the kingdom? In other words, all God's people are sowers, not formally because they are all ordained officers, but informally as you use God's ordained means to save with your unbelieving acquaintances. You remember what Paul said to the Christians at Philippi, Philippians 2, verse 15. He said, "You are children of God without fault in a crooked and perverse generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life." Do you hold out the word of life to the world around you? This crooked and perverse generation as a sower of the seed. Are you actively sowing the seed, or are you instead simply storing up in your storehouse seed for yourself? How many Bibles do you have on your bookshelves at home? Are you storing up barns filled with overflowing with seed in a day of famine? Just think of the fruit that could be born. And yes, I know, as the passage tells us, certain soils will bear no fruit, but no soil will bear fruit if the seed doesn't even come in contact with it. It's not your job to judge the receptivity of the soil. Your job is to sow, not to give the growth. 1 Corinthians 3:7. "So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." Now, I don't know about you, but I personally find that a very liberating thought. You ever feel nervous about doing evangelism? Now, I'm not an expert in farming, but it seems to me that throwing handfuls of seed in the ground is not rocket science. That's a fairly straightforward thing to do. The farmer doesn't have to make it rain. The farmer doesn't have to create the nutrients in the soil. He doesn't have to make the sunshine. That is God's job. Your job is to scatter the seed. Scatter the seed. The seed and the sower, and then thirdly, the sowing itself. How is it that we are to sow? How had Jesus conveyed his message? Well, you may remember that summary statement of Jesus' Galilean ministry in Matthew 4, verse 23, that Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. That is to say, Jesus' sowing ministry was primarily a preaching, teaching ministry, a message uniquely validated by him, of course, by signs given to him by his Father. And it's the same primary means God uses today. But notice the manner in which he sows. He sows somewhat indiscriminately. He scatters the seed broadly. There are differing results depending not on differing quality of seed, but differing quality of ground. And friends, to interpret and to apply this to ourselves this morning, one message preached broadly produces different results in different hearers. In other words, this is the genius, you see, of the method, the genius of preaching as a method of scattering the seeds of the word. Because instead of a pastor personally feeding the word to each individual one-on-one, he feeds all in one sitting. Put it this way, it's not so much a private date as it is a public feast. A public feast. Now, you guys know I come from Northern Ireland, and we have a lot of sheep in Northern Ireland. You see them all over the hills. They're everywhere. And when the shepherd goes to feed the sheep, what happens? Well, when he goes, he does not call each sheep by name personally to feed each one. It would take weeks in the case of a large flock. In the same way, the Good Shepherd feeds each of his sheep in individual ways through one feeding of the Word on the Sabbath day. Have you ever noticed, if you maybe talk about the sermon over the lunch table or something, or you compare the notes you've made perhaps after a sermon, each of you will have been struck by the Word in different ways according to your individual needs. This is not a coincidence. This is by design. Preaching is designed to do this. And friends, if this is the way in which God sows the seed, primarily following Jesus' example here, this is why you should come to church. This is why you should come to the worship services. If I were to ask you the question, why do you go to the dinner table twice a day? Well, it's a silly question. Yeah, well, you go to be fed. And so I would ask, why is it that you go to church twice on Sunday? It should be a silly question. Like, I go to be fed, of course. If you don't attend one or both of the services, perhaps it's because you're not hungry. And that, of course, could be a very dangerous condition to be in. Or at the very least, you will become very hungry if you do not feed. Now, we are not saying, of course, that small groups or one-on-one Bible studies are not important. Of course they are. But the imagery here in this parable that we're explaining is one of the indiscriminate preaching of the Word to all, which results in very discriminate application according to the hearts of individual hearers. This is how to hear the Word with profit. But we must come thirdly to consider how to hear the Word with profit. With profit. And this is where we come finally to see the explanation of the parable. We've seen here that a certain kind of hearing is necessary. We've seen that a certain kind of seed is necessary. And now by application we see that a certain response is necessary as well. In other words, a profitable, fruitful hearing of the Word. A hearing with understanding in the heart that results in sanctification and, of course, salvation before that. So then, it's time for Jesus' hearing test. Jesus calls this the parable of the sower in verse 18. But the emphasis as he comes to the conclusion of this portion and as he explains the meaning of the parable is surely on the soils. He describes three bad soils, and he describes one good soil which bears three different degrees of fruit. Now, it's easy for us to come to this parable in a simplistic kind of way and say, well, obviously, the bad soil is an unbeliever and the good soil is a believer. Easy, end of story. But I would submit to you this morning that all of these soils, every single one of them, can apply both to believers and to unbelievers. Christians that are already saved by the Word often display the characteristics of bad soil too. And so they fail to grow. They fail to be fed, and so they shrivel up. They don't grow. They're not maturing in their Christian faith. And the challenge this morning for you is this. Do you hear the Word with profit? In other words, where is the fruit of hearing the Word? These means of grace that we speak so much of are not automatic. We need and we must plead for the Holy Spirit of God to accompany them and to make them effectual, not only for the salvation of unbelievers, but for the sanctification of those who are believing in Christ. The purpose of this parable, it is clear from Jesus' explanation, is to show how the Word is heard and received into the heart by different hearers, either profitably or otherwise. So let's briefly run through these four soils, these four hearers. And as we do so, ask yourself, which of these describes me? Is it soil number one? Soil number one is an ignorant hearing. An ignorant hearing. Verse 4, as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. The explanation in verse 19, take a look. Verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. Seed that is snatched by the birds before it even has a chance to grow. Birds, of course, are whirling around in the sky looking for a target of opportunity. They're waiting in anticipation of the sower, and they await the seed. Kind of like the crows that swirl around behind the tractor as the earth is turned over for all the worms that are going to be turned up, and it's a feast for them. This hearer, it says Jesus, hears the word with his ears, but he lacks a true heart understanding. He is careless and thoughtless and unconcerned with the message. His heart is hard like the path. And there are many such hearers at churches throughout the world this morning. And these hearers are being shadowed, says Jesus. He says, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Satan snatches the word from such hearers. Some years ago, our family were in the seaside village of St. Ives in Cornwall, southwest England. And there were signs everywhere saying, beware of the seagulls. Beware of the seagulls? Not a very scary kind of animal. But sure enough, you're walking along with your fish and chips, your ice cream, and down they come and take it straight out of your hands. And you've maybe experienced that in some seaside towns you've been to as well. You need to clutch your treat or else it's going to be snatched away. So it is here. Satan and his devils come to church every week. They come to all the services. And they look to devour the word before it takes root in your heart. And they come with an arsenal of distractions, don't they? An arsenal of fiery darts. The Puritan Richard Steele wrote a very helpful book called A Remedy Against Wandering Thoughts in Worship. That's a pretty obvious title if you want to know what the book's about, isn't it? I think it's in the church library. Maybe if it's not, we should get it. But it's a very helpful book. Listen to what he says. He says, Satan is in every pew. He is at every elbow, throwing in his fireballs and enticing poor souls to commit folly with him. Never did the crafty cheat watch and spy how to defraud the shopper while he is receiving his cash, as Satan lies in wait in the worship of God to steal from you that true treasure that should make your soul rich, especially that prayer or chapter or sermon that should do you most good or most destroy his kingdom. He will most be busy in. Isn't that true? The devil comes. And he snatches away the word. And it's not just, my friends, in this hour of worship where we are right now. How many churchgoers go home from church and what do they do? They crank up the music in the car. They put on the game. They surf the web as soon as they get home. And what happens? Well, guess what happens? There's no germination of the word because it has been devoured. Do you have sometimes on a Sunday afternoon an ignorant hearing? What was the sermon about? I don't remember. Maybe there's someone here today that has never truly listened to the gospel. And if that's true, you need to ask God to soften the hard path of your heart so that a seed may take root and bear fruit. Maybe you're a believer this morning who fails to profit by the word because you're so distracted. It goes in one ear and out the other. Rein in your wandering thoughts. Get better sleep the night before. Give full attention to the word. And like the hearing test of your childhood, some frequencies may sometimes be difficult to detect. But most are clear as a bell if you will only listen. Soil number one is an ignorant hearing. Soil number two is a shallow hearing. Verses 5 and 6, he says, some fell on stony places where they didn't have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And as Jesus goes on to explain in verse 20, he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. You understand the picture? Jesus gives us here. Stony soil, a thin layer of soil above a stony foundation, a rocky place. No roots can grow very deep. No moisture, indeed, can withstand the scorching sun. And we've all met people like this. And we all too often are like this ourselves. It seems promising, this soil initially. How many Christians, or professing Christians, I should say, are there in this land who have made a hasty decision for Christ at a meeting? They've been filled with joy, filled with enthusiasm. And they become another statistic on the televangelist's success chart or a barnacle, but not long afterwards proved to be utterly unchanged, scorched by fiery trials. And they show their true colors. Once again, fruit is the proof of a true hearing of the word. Isn't that particularly clear to us on a day like this? September 11th. And we can all remember that day when God grabbed the attention of an entire nation and everybody was gripped. And you can remember how that weekend the churches were full, people coming and listening eagerly to the word. The seed was sown and it seemed to spring up quickly, didn't it? We even heard some speaking of a revival that might take place. Where was the lasting fruit? Where was the lasting fruit? How has our nation changed in the past 10 years? This is, of course, possible for all of us. You too may hear the word with a joy that is merely a joy in the aesthetics of preaching. Do you remember the words that God spoke to Ezekiel about his congregation? Ezekiel 33, 32. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not do them. Lots of people in churches love a good sermon. They love a good sermon. They enjoy the style. They enjoy the illustrations, the stories that are told. And they may even go away and make some resolutions to apply it. But when the going gets tough, the true depth of the word in their souls begins to show itself. So do you this morning have a shallow hearing? Do you sit in the pew and hear the word, but fail to let it take root in your life because of a shallow commitment? Examine yourself. Where's the fruit? Cry out to God to remove the stones from your heart. And then perhaps, most commonly of all, the third soil is a distracted hearing. A distracted hearing in verse 22. He who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. You see, the problem here is that other seeds occupy the soil of the soul already. The problem is not an absence of seeds. Problem is the presence of rival seeds. Thorns and weeds grow naturally in the fallen heart as well as the fallen earth. And unless you keep rooting them out intentionally, they're just going to come back. These thorns Jesus describes as the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, these two deadly enemies of hearing the word, a heart that is distracted by worry, and indeed a heart that is distracted by stuff or worldliness. And you know how it is that weeds choke your precious tomato plants or blueberries or whatever it is you grow in your garden. What do? They steal the nutrients and the sunlight that will nourish your young plants. The means of growth are drained away by the thorns, and so your hearing of the word is hindered so that you cannot grow. And here's how it works. You come to church. You're sitting in the pew as you are right now. Maybe you're even taking notes, but your mind is elsewhere. Maybe you're thinking about what happened in the week that has passed. You're thinking about work tomorrow. You're thinking about your economic woes. You're thinking about the pretty girl a few pews over. You're thinking about Peyton Manning and his neck injury and what's the season going to be like for the Colts. Now, some of these may be legitimate concerns, but friends, when God comes and speaks to you, you want to block out all other voices but his. Maybe at that very moment that your mind's way out there, he is addressing the very concern that you're way out there with. So listen. Come expectantly. Ask him to address whatever it is that is distracting your thoughts this morning. You know what the easiest job in the world is, don't you? Cultivating weeds. Wouldn't that be a great job? You have to, work. It just happens by itself. Cultivating a garden of exquisite fruit trees is a completely different proposition. Which are you cultivating today? How are you hearing? Well, that brings us finally and briefly to the final soil, which is, of course, a profitable hearing. Hearing with the understanding. Verse 23 says, he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. This, my friends, is the true spiritual hearing, believing in the heart the message of the word of God unto salvation, and then being built up by it in sanctification. And what is it that makes this soil so good? What is it that makes the hearer able to hear? Jesus tells us, he says in verse 11, it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And verse 17, blessed are your ears, for they hear. You see, when it comes to hearing the word unto salvation and sanctification for that matter, any fruit you bear from a true preaching of the word is the fruit of grace. Grace. Whoever it is that sows the seed into your life, whether Paul or Apollos or Pastor Caddy, God gives the growth. This does not mean that you're idle in the process, because the same God that gives growth in grace also gives means of grace. He who has sovereignly determined the ends has sovereignly determined the means. And so some believers are going to be more fruitful hearers than others. Strive to be as fruitful a hearer as you possibly can using God's means. John 15, verse 8, Jesus says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Are you bearing fruit this morning? Are you bearing fruit in your life? One of the commentators I read this week said that the average estimate yield in Palestinian agriculture in the first century was 7 to 10-fold what was sown. That's pretty good. 7 to 10-fold. What does Jesus say? Jesus describes explosive growth, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And so whatever measure of increase, true Christian growth fueled by the Spirit of God is out of all proportion to what was initially sown. So then, go from this place today. If you are not proving fruitful, could it be because your soil is bad? Your heart is hard. Your heart is shallow. Your heart is filled with thorns. Do you want to be a profitable hearer of the word? Then pray. Pray when you get home today. Pray as soon as you leave the building that God will remove all the impediments to the word taking root in your heart. Will you prepare your heart for worship by entering the house of God in a spiritual frame of mind, ready to humbly receive the implanted word? Will you enter this place this evening? You enter this place next week expectantly, expecting to receive the word from heaven. How to hear the word with profit. This is Jesus' hearing test. So how did you do? How did you do? What kind of a hearer of the word are you? May Jesus say to each one of us today, blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the one who has given the word, and you have sowed the word this day. And we acknowledge that as we come week by week to hear the word, and as we read the word day by day in our devotions, Lord, how very often we confess the soil of our heart is not as it should be. O Lord, we ask and pray that you would enable us each one to make application. And Lord, as you have fed us in one sitting this morning, apply this food to each of us. Challenge us, convict us, and help us to be not simply hearers of the word, but doers of it as well. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.